One day, my brilliant, beautiful, complicated mother appeared at my kitchen table 31 years after her death. This is a story of mothers and daughters. My mother, my daughters, my mother's daughters, my daughter's mothers. This is the story of a year. Chapter 1. She pulled the blue checkered dish towel off the mixing bowl. The dough was twice as big as it was an hour ago. My mother was amused by my open-mouthed astonishment. Her smile was beautiful, colored with bright red lipstick. Punch it down, honey lamb. The dough was warm and elastic, deflating under my tiny fists, exhaling a sweet, earthy smell. When it was back to its original size, she emptied it onto the floured board, and it surrendered to her confident hands. Your turn, Alice. I jabbed. I poked. Like this. She stood behind me, reached around my shoulders, and placed her hands on the dough. I put my hands on hers. She pushed forward with the heel of her palm, folded it back, forward, back. We kneaded in unison, like rowing a boat, like our purring cat scratching the sofa, like Daddy waltzing me around while I stood on his feet, like Mommy giving me a back rub at bedtime. I basked in the euphoria of her touch. I wipe my tear-streaked face with the back of my hand, surprised and embarrassed to be crying in the schoolyard on a hot Friday afternoon, waiting to pick up Eliana. One more week of school. A sparrow takes two staccato hops toward me on the green wooden bench. A gust of wind blows my long hair in all directions. The sparrow flies away. Why am I crying? Why am I thinking about my mother so much today? Oh, yeah, because it's June. I don't think about Mom anymore. Well, not much. Once in a long while, and fits and starts. I sometimes find myself writing about her, my fingers typing her onto the page unbidden. On the Jewish high holidays, the 2 days in the year I go to synagogue, I think about her while reciting the mourner's Kaddish, the prayer for the dead, which I read phonetically, having never learned Hebrew. Sometimes I dream about her, but I rarely remember the details. And every year in late June, I suddenly get sad and wonder why I'm crying until I remember that Mom died in June, 31 years ago, June 29, 1977. My summer solstice mood swing takes me by surprise every year, even though it's as predictable as the days getting warmer. By the start of July, it's over. 31 years is a long time. My mother has become a character from a story I used to know, a face from an old photograph, the colors faded, her features blurry. Sensory fragments emerge. The smell of her hair, the warmth of her hands, the melody of her voice, the sound of her typing and typing and typing. I used to think about Mom all the time, the good parts and the bad parts. After she died, my thoughts would reflexively turn to her. I'd have an impulse to pick up the phone and call her, catch up on the day's events, tell her when I'd fallen in love, invite her to my performances. In darker moods, I'd want to summon her to our old battlegrounds to demand explanation and apology, or offer my own. Over time, I stopped wishing for her. With great effort, I stopped thinking about her. It hurt too much. Too closely resembled the angst of unrequited love. Now I can't remember what I tried so hard to forget. I exiled her, like banishing an errant ex-boyfriend from my thoughts, burying my memories of her as deep as I could, so my unrelieved longing for her and my anger at her would go away. Except in June. Every June, she's in my thoughts, whether I want her there or not. I picture my mother the last time I saw her when she told me, "This is the first time in years that I am truly happy." The school bell rings. I look for Eliana's third grade class in the sea of children streaming out the doors into the sun-baked schoolyard, giddy in anticipation of summer vacation.